So Glendon didn't leave me long. I blame it on him. First thing, I'd like to thank Cody for his lesson last week, a reminder of our abilities and so forth and what we need to do with them. And the weeks before when Cody and Roger preached, and then when Kyle and others take the opportunity to preach, and other men in this congregation very capable of preaching, it reminds me that you really don't need me that much. It's like a parent who understands at some point that the children can do it on their own. It's not a comfortable thing. You still want to be there for them, and you still... But it is great when you have a group of people who are willing to work together and do so many things in the kingdom. So thank you very much for all of that. Some time ago, I don't remember how long, people give me, would you preach on this? I'm not sure this is exactly the title, so I just did the best I could with what was suggested. And the suggestion was, who am I makes a difference. And you may wonder where I got that title. Well, that title comes from a story. Don't know if it's true, it's supposed to be true, but a teacher in New York decided that she wanted to honor the students. And so she brought each one of the students forward, and she had three ribbons for them. And she said, I'm going to give you these three ribbons. One of them is for you because I want to tell you how much I care about you and what you have meant to me. Now, that might be more difficult with some people than others, but she wanted them to know there was something special about them. And so on it said, who I am makes a difference. So she asked them to then go out, take the other two ribbons and give one to someone. And you can see this online. I'll show it at the end. I can't show the presentation because that's not allowed. But at the end, she told them to take the other two ribbons and take it to someone else and tell them what they meant to them. So then they were to report on this. Well, one of the boys went to someone that had helped him try to determine what he wanted to do with his life. And he gave him the ribbon, and he asked him if he would take then the other ribbon and give it to someone else. Well, the junior executive went into the boss, who was a grumpy old man, basically wasn't that old, but it was very grouchy and grumpy, and people didn't like to approach him. And he told him how he really cared about him and how he was such a creative man. And he wanted him to know that, and he gave him the ribbon, and he gave him the other one and asked him if he'd pass that on to someone else. So he went home. He tells about the teenager. He goes home, and he calls his son in. He said, something incredible happened to me today. I didn't realize that someone felt that way about me and gave me this ribbon. And he said, he told me to pass it on to someone else. And he said, I want to pass this on to you. You mean so much to me as my son. He said, I know I'll get on to you a lot. It just means a lot to me. I'm sorry. I tried to read through this several times so that wouldn't happen, but it does every time. Well, he starts to cry. And he tells his dad, you know what? I planned on committing suicide tonight. I just couldn't live life. I didn't think anyone appreciated me. He said, I left the letter upstairs. His dad leaves and goes and reads the letter. Of course, things do work out well. Now, this is supposed to be true. And you can go online, you can see the movie, and it's by this woman, Helise Sparkey Bridges. And she tells about this, and you can go watch it. In Luke 18, 28 through 30, Peter said, see, we've left all and followed you. So he said to them, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who's left house or brothers, parents or brothers or wife or children, for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times more in this present life and in the age to come, eternal life. In Mark's account, he says, there's no one who's left house or brothers or sisters or father or mothers or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the ages to come, eternal life. It is the most amazing thing to me what we've received in the kingdom. Who I am makes a difference. So how do I feel about that? How do I feel about others? Well, sometimes we dwell on the negatives. It's a very common thing with human beings. We just don't seem to see the positive in things. But Christ, in these passages, lets them know that all these blessings they have in the kingdom, what they have in each other. There are things, he says, we have to give up for Christ. They're difficult to give up. Things that mean a lot to us, and it may even be people in our life that we literally have to give up if we're going to serve Christ. But he says, you're going to receive so much more, like a hundredfold. What does this mean? Well, to replace what we lost, God gives us all of His family. Not just some of them, all of His family. Not just in this community, but all over the world. And he says, their homes, their possessions are equally yours, because they'll share that with you if you need it. Have you ever been somewhere and other Christians took you in? Have you ever been somewhere and other Christians helped you? We have spiritual fathers, mothers, brothers, and sisters, too many to number. So I want to look at some examples in the New Testament briefly. The Apostle John, been there with Christ. He's one of the three that spent a lot of time with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was one that he always talked about, that his master loved. That's how John felt about it, and he talks about how much he loved him. This great man, who Jesus chose to be one of the ones, one of the 12, the original 12, to go out and teach his gospel, talks about a man named Gaius in 3 John 1 through 8. And this is what he writes about this man. The elder, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a worthy manner of God, you will do well, because they went forth for the name's sake. For His name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. This is what he says about this man. This great man, John, that we would look up to, knows this other Christian. And he says, he's beloved. He said, whom I love in truth, which lets us know the sincerity. He's talking about a man that he looks at and he appreciates so much in the kingdom. You ever look around the room? And you ever look around the room, this room, and think of what others have done for you and how much you appreciate what they've done for you? How they have, just in some maybe simple way, helped you along your path, made your life a little easier, encouraged you maybe when you were down. But it has to be in truth. John prays that he prospers in all things. He loves this man so much that there's not one thing he wouldn't want him to prosper in. Isn't that the feeling we should have for one another? Isn't that what we would want for every Christian, every brother and sister in Christ? He wants his physical health to be as good as his spiritual health. We know a lot of people who are physically sick. But which one would we prefer for them? Spiritual health or physical health? How many of us could say about someone, I wish that their physical health was as good as their spiritual health? I hope we could say that about each other. I hope that's true. He compliments him for his stand in the truth, his walking in truth. Not just the fact that he stands for it, but he walks in it. He doesn't just say it, he does it. Isn't that a wonderful thing about brothers and sisters in Christ? He compliments him on his love before the church. And how he cares, takes care of his fellow Christians. Doesn't matter whether they're strangers, visitors, or part of that local congregation. He shows equal care for a Christian who comes in as much as he does for someone that he's associated with all of his life. This isn't someone who expects this in return. Now, he would get the same thing from Gaius, I'm sure. But he's doing it out of love for himself. Or Gaius. And he says that Gaius does this without asking anything in return. He had not asked anything of the Gentiles. Apparently a Jewish man, and he hadn't asked anything. How about Paul, the great apostle that we all look up to our brother Paul, and we think about Paul and all he does for everyone else. But in his doing for everyone else, think of how many times, and I'm only going to use this about Timothy with him, how many times he compliments other people, other Christians that he looks at, and he talks about how much they've helped him. It's amazing, isn't it? Our brother Paul, and thinking about how many people, would we be where we are today without a brother like this? who use his talents and abilities, as Cody talked about last week, to their fullest. Gave up everything he had for the cause of Christ. But he says this about Timothy in Philippians 2, 19 through 24. But I trust in the Lord Jesus and Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus, but you know his proven character. That as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once as soon as I see it, how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. How many young people have been lifted up by those that are older like this? How many of us have been lifted up when we were younger by older people and encouraged like this? Paul said he knew no one like-minded. What a compliment. Paul knew about himself. He knew what he had given up for the gospel of Christ. He wasn't complimenting himself, patting himself on the back, but he knew that. And for him to say that about someone else, that's a high compliment to think of saying that to a younger person. He said Timothy would sincerely care for their state. It wouldn't be some hypocritical thing on his part. He wouldn't do it just because he has to do it. He said Timothy would come to them doing it because he loved them. I don't know how much he knew about the church at Philippi. Apparently he's working with the church at Ephesus. I don't know. He said, truthfully, all others seek their own. Not the things of Christ Jesus, but not Timothy. No. He was saying that Timothy sought out the things of Christ first before anything else. He said Timothy had a proven character. We need to tell young people how much we appreciate them and their proven character by the way they live and by what they stand for. And I do appreciate the young people in this audience who have stood for things against even those that we would hope would stand for truth. But they've stood for truth. I'll tell you, I appreciate you very much for doing that. Timothy was Paul's son in the gospel. Going back to that original passage we use, who I am makes a difference. Timothy made a difference in people's lives. He made such a difference in people's lives that Paul says, let me tell you about him. Let me tell you, when I send him to you, and think about this for a moment. He sends him to the church at Philippi. If we weren't choosing a church that we would say that Paul was highly complimentary of, that was doing what God wanted them to do, which church would we pick? We'd pick the church at Philippi. But yet he's sending Timothy to them and complimenting Timothy and saying, when I send him to you, he's going to be very beneficial to you. He had no misgivings about sending Timothy to them. He wasn't concerned that if I send Timothy to them, he's going to mess this up. You know, I worked hard with that church there, and I brought a lot of those people to Christ. Now, I got to be careful, because Timothy could mess that up. Wasn't concerned about that at all. And Luke, about Dorcas. Oh, this wonderful woman that we wouldn't know anything about if it hadn't been written about her. She's such a wonderful woman. In Acts 9, 36 through 43, at Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she came sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them, and when he had come, they brought him to the upper room. And all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. It came known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon a tanner. What is said about her? What is said about her? This is a woman very selfish. This is a woman concerned about her own welfare. Absolutely not. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds which she did. Think about Luke talking about this woman and how important this woman was. Would the world consider this woman anything? I'll tell you how concerned they were about this woman. Two men, recognizing the seriousness of the situation, they had lost this good woman. This woman who had shown by her life that she wanted to follow Jesus Christ. Two men immediately went to a source that they felt could help them with this. They went to Peter. They knew what Peter could do. They knew the power that God had given him. And Peter says, well, it'll take me a little while. No, he knew the importance of this too. He immediately came. And how do we see people? They miss this woman so much. This woman meant so much to their lives. She was the type of woman that everyone missed. Why? She made a difference. All the widows stood by her weeping. There they are. At this woman's basically, if you will, casket. Showing others what this woman had done. How she lived her life. How she made things for them. And you just know that she did this out of the goodness of her heart. And God used Peter to bring her back to life. And so then we come to Paul. Paul had been persecuting Christians. Immediately, when he learned the truth of the gospel, did he make a difference? Immediately, he started preaching the gospel. We know he went away for 3 years and he learned about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But when he knew what he needed to teach, he immediately, in Acts 9:20, started teaching it. He immediately wanted to join himself to the disciples in Acts 9, verse 26. He recognized the importance of being there with other Christians and encouraging them and being a part of that local work. He understood that. It didn't take someone saying to him, you have to be there. No, sir. He wanted to be there with all of his being. In 2 Corinthians 10, 14 through 16, we find him saying, I went to areas where other people wouldn't go. I taught the lost. I knew Jesus Christ died for my sins, and I wanted to be a part of that. There's not a person in this room that knows about the life of Paul that wouldn't say he made a difference. He didn't make a difference in just one place. He made a difference wherever he went. Whoever he was around, whoever he could teach, he used every one of his abilities to the fullest. Even though, as we've already learned from the passage we use, that there will be persecution with this. That when we choose to follow Christ, even though we have what we have in the Lord's church, he said he was persecuted frequently, beaten often, shipwrecks, on and on and on. This was not a comfortable lifestyle he lived. That's how much faith he had in Jesus Christ. He is one of the people that we can look up to and say, I know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins because he totally changed his life. Went from one type of life to another in his faith in Jesus Christ. He was constantly encouraging others. In Philippians 1, 3 through 6, he's encouraging them to do what they need to do. He's telling them how much they mean to him. He's telling them he prays for them often. He's telling them, I care about you very much. He made a difference. He said to Timothy in 2 Timothy, I'm comfortable enough, Timothy, in telling you in 3:10-11, you can carefully follow my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions. What happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra? What persecutions I endured, and out of them all God, the Lord delivered me. How many of us could say, I want you to follow me in all of this? He did. He made a difference. And he made a difference up to the end. He was ready to go. He was ready to be poured out as a drink offering. He was ready to go to be with his Lord and Savior. He even said, while I was in prison, no one stood with me except my Lord and Savior. That man made a difference. That man went into all the world to preach the gospel. That man took it wherever he was. He sure made a difference. But I'll tell you this. None of these men were sinless. Dorcas wasn't sinless. Not one of these people were. But they gave it their best. They made a difference in other people's lives. He wanted us to know about that. He wanted us to know the impact they had on other people. So who we are makes a difference. As Cody said in his last lesson last week, when we use what we have, we make a difference in life. We can help others. We're here to serve, not to be served. We've already been served by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He gave His life on the cross for our sins. He gave the greatest servants of all, service of all. Could it be said that we make a positive difference in the life of others? Can it be said that when you're around, we're encouraged or discouraged? Which one is it? Do we stand for what we believe in a way that causes others to want to be the same, or do we turn them away from God by the way we stand for things? Today, make a difference in your life. If you don't believe there's a difference in Christians, just because they make mistakes, look at them again. Christians are totally different from the way the world lives. They try to change their lives to conform. They try to stay away from immoral things. They try so hard to love one another. Totally different from the world. They try to be selfless and not selfish. Today, become a Christian. If you have any needs, we'd be glad to assist you. Would you please stand?